is the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Raise your bets, you jackwagon!
Brad, the big noise, Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. Tis indeed another edition of the Fade 5 Podcast on this Sweet 16 Eve. Let's not waste any time and get after it. And first, honk, honk, hop aboard the plus bus. Lundy, whether it's in the NCAA tournament that gets underway again tomorrow, maybe the NIT, the CBI, the CIT, the rocket and roll. Way to go, Indiana State, with a very sweaty cover last night in their whole matchup against Cincinnati. Maybe it's Major League Baseball opening day tomorrow, the NHL, the NBA. We have so many options, a buffet of sports betting goodness. So, good sir, share your plus 100 odds or wager that you're digging on most.
You think I give two craps about baseball starting tomorrow?
I got a bet. I'm going to share it on the show later.
I am in Denver. I don't even look, folks.
Oh, you don't care.
Right now, just continuously fade the FARC out of the Rockies. Okay. That's what I want you to do. That is my lesson for you over the course of this season. If they are on the road, take the other team on the run line, like not just to squeak it out, but to bare bottom spank the Rockies and knock them right out of the way. So that's my baseball knowledge for you for this particular exercise. Beyond that, we'll get into some player props in a couple of weeks. Tell you what, let's go on the plus bus, and I'm going to talk about those Arizona Wildcats, shall we? I think the fact that I can take plus odds on this in the final farewell of the Pac-12, do I think that maybe a Pac-12 team finally shows up for the tournament and decides to look good? For a while there, they were cruising along, and looking pretty good, them and the ACC. But at plus 120, I truly believe when you look at the West region, I believe we're talking about North Carolina and we're talking about Arizona. I think that in that region, the committee, which, you know, effed up most of the bracket, but I do believe they actually got the one seed and the two seed in the West correctly here when we talk about North Carolina and Arizona. I think it will come down to them. I think it will wind up being those two in the Elite Eight to decide who gets the trip to Phoenix. And with that in mind, at a plus 120, I will play that with Arizona. I do think it'll come down to those two, and I think Arizona's got just enough to make it so that if it is those two, I don't know. I'm projecting way ahead, Brad, but if it is that matchup in the Elite Eight, I might sprinkle a little money on that game to go to overtime.
Yeah, I like that call quite a bit. I wrote about this exact topic on thegamingjuice.com, and I sided with it with Arizona. Believe it or not, at plus 120, they are the chalk as the number two seed in that region to represent in Glendale, Arizona. Speaking of that representation down in the desert, how about Purdue to do the same damn thing? I cannot believe, Lundy, as the number one seed, it's plus 170 for them to get to the Final Four, available at FanDuel Sportsbook. Yes, they haven't been tested yet. They exercised some demons against the number 16 seed in Grambling State in the opening round. And oh my God, they opened up a can of whoop ass against Utah State really from start to finish. And I think that's going to continue against Gonzaga, a team they faced earlier this season in non-conference play, and they beat it by double figures. I think they're going to win yet again in the round of 16, and I think they're going to also win against either Creighton or Tennessee in the Elite Eight and reach the Sonoran Desert. It's more than Zach Edey. This team, again, because of Edey's ability to hold the ball up high, and it's way up there. He's 7 foot freaking four, people. He reads, he recognizes, and he tosses the open shooter from outside, and the puppies are set, and they nail a lot of triples. They're shooting well north of 40% here in the month of March. Edey, of course, chews up the offensive rebounds, a lot of those tip backs and windmill slam dunks as a putback as well, excelling defensively. There are no weaknesses on paper right now for the Boilers, and I say, boiler up, baby! They're going to Arizona and Glendale, and representing the Midwest region in the Final Four, plus 170. Again, head scratching there, available at FanDuel. With those bets on the board, let's get after it with another edition of the Fade Five.
Number five.
Oh, Lundy, what a quinky dink. Let's go ahead and fade your Colorado Rockies. And Lundy has no idea what I'm going to talk about on each and every one of these shows. He rarely looks at the script. So the fact that he's just like, fade the living dog shit out of Colorado. He already got inside my cranium, and I apologize to the psycho clowns that live inside of there, Lundy. But I like Zach Allen, man. He's at home. He's taking on the not-so-fighting pebbles of the Centennial State in the opening day matchup, opening night matchup between the D-backs and the Rockies. And I say Gallen gets a dub at plus 125, available there at DraftKings. Generally speaking, I've had a lot of pitcher props and live in a land down under. First about 2 to 3 weeks of the season, usually guys got to ramp it up to get the necessary innings. I usually go well under a lot of strikeout props. Because of limitations, they're still, you know, shaking off the dust and the rust of last year and just kind of building up to what they normally do in the regular season. But I think Gallen's going to go five strong. I think he's going to slam the door on Colorado, at least the bullpen will, to get the victory. Here are the necessary numbers that you need to know about Gallen from last year. At home, at 102 innings pitched, he had a marvelous 2.47 ERA, 10.59 K per nine, 1.59 walks per nine. Extraordinary strikeout to walk split there. He had a sky high 1.71 ground ball to fly ball ratio, so generating a ton of weak contact. And he was 12-3 at home. He only faced Colorado once, but of course he got the victory. And Lenny already mentioned it, Colorado was god awful away from Denver last season, 650 OPS, and they were 22-59 on the road overall. And he's going against Kyle Freeland, who had a 5.13 road ERA last season. That's your ace, Colorado, allegedly. You're paying him way too much money. Kyle Freeland, awesome guy. Definitely, though, overpaid as a starting pitcher. So putting that all together, Lundy, I know where your head's at on this. Zach Gallen, I'm going to fill him up. I say he gets a dub in the opener against the Rockies, plus 125 at DraftKings. Fade to follow.
You're gonna follow. Again, what did I tell you? If the Rockies are on the road, I will play the run line on the opposition in basically every game this season. And I bet you if we tracked the money over the course of the season, we would come out ahead. And I might do that. I might actually create a tab on the spreadsheet that is posted up on Twitter, and we will just figure out what we can do if we do that against the Rockies over the course of the entire season. Now, here's what I will say, though, about Kyle Freeland. Unbelievably nice guy. Yeah. He is also a huge hockey fan. So I see him at the Avalanche games when it's not in season, or if the Rockies are at home and he's got a gap before his next start, I'll see him at Avs games sometimes. He's a huge hockey fan. And obviously he grew up here in Denver, so he's been an Avs fan his entire life. So I will say, I don't disagree. And Kyle, get that bag, brother. Take that money.
Yeah, get the money, baby.
But you know, if Monfort is willing to pay you that much money, you might as well take it. But he's a great guy. Great guy. Absolutely. Just kick ass. Really nice guy.
And a great guy to fade, right?
He's going to lose when they open up the season. So take Zach Gallen and take the plus money.
Oh, yeah. Pulverize those pebbles, Zach Gallen. Get another dub.
Number four.
Numero Quattro here on the Fade 5. Let's go with the Sweet 16. And looking at the matchups there on Thursday, I'm going to live dangerously in the land down under on who? Alabama. Yeah, the high-flying Crimson Tide. Points still way too high. 87.5. Available right now, minus 115 juice there at DraftKings. I think this game is going to be slower pace than some people expect. Shot quality's got a projected in the low 80s. A lot of the number of sites that I follow all have it projected right around 80 for both these teams. And what should be a nip and tuck overall affair against North Carolina. Carolina top 75 at adjusted tempo. Over the last 30 days, Alabama inside the top 10 in that category. So you might say, well, this is going to be like the Florida game against CU. First 102 wins But I say pump the brakes on that because Alabama, we saw it against Grand Canyon, and it just an absolutely chaotic game from start to finish. They do tend to have some of these lulls offensively. You look and see what they have done here in the month of March. You're just number 165 in effective field goal percentage offense, Lundy. Over that span, yeah, they're netting 56% inside the arc, but they're shooting a lousy 29.6% outside of the arc. Subpar defensively, they are at number 75 in that category. And here's the key. What we notice about North Carolina, we've said ad nauseum this entire year. The Heels are leaning on defense, not necessarily offense. Armando Bacot is one of the best rim protectors in the game. They really get after you in terms of botting up and guarding the opposition. They've done a really good job, especially in the interior here in the month of March. Only giving up 43.9%. Now, you can beat them from outside. They're also yielding 36.2% from three. But this is a team that can play at variable paces. And if I'm Hubert Davis, you want to frustrate Alabama? Look at the tape against Grand Canyon. Slow them down the best to your ability. Lock them in a half-court situations and let Bacot just, you know, bludgeon them over and over again offensively and defensively. So put it all together. Alabama, give me the under. 87.5 team total points. I think they're going to finish right 82, 83, minus 115 to DraftKings. Lundy, fair to follow.
If Grand Canyon can make a three-pointer, Bama's not even in this game.
Yeah, or not turn the damn ball over.
I mean, I just want to simplify it. If they had shot, what did they shoot? 10% from three or some ridiculous thing like that?
Yeah, they were jacking ridiculous trays in that game.
And they were. And that's the reason why they didn't wind up winning the game is because I think they were taking them at the wrong times and frankly from the wrong spot on the court. But if Grand Canyon makes those threes, we're not talking about Bama right now. Yep. We're not. We're talking about the SEC looking like crap in the tournament, but we're not talking about Bama in the Sweet 16 right now if Grand Canyon can make a damn three-pointer. So to me, I think Grand Canyon showed how you slow them down. I think there's way too much weight put into what happened for Bama in that first round game against Charleston, where they scored the way that they did. But Brad, you talked about some of the analytics site. If you go and look at Haslametrics, if you go and look at Bart Torvik, if you go and look at the simulations that CBS has run, if you put all of those together, the highest point total across all of those sites that you and I have a tendency to use over the course of the season, the highest point total that any of them have for Alabama is 82. So it's,
wow.
The computers, and I, again, the game isn't played in a computer, but I'm telling you, when you run these simulations and you are seeing a 5-point difference to what DraftKings has posted, that to me is a bet worth making.
Yeah, the Tide ain't gonna roll, baby, against North Carolina. Sayonara, see you later. Take the under.
Number three.
Numero tres here on the feed. Five countdown and I-L-L. Take my line eye on the money line as unbiased and objective as I possibly can. In their 2-3 matchup against the Iowa State Cyclones, plus 105. The juice is really cascaded. I grabbed this at BetMGM actually yesterday. Had to make a little road trip to Indiana to do it. At plus 120. So it's starting to come down. I wouldn't be surprised. I've already seen a couple of books reach minus territory, Lundy, here as we're taping this on Wednesday morning. And it's probably going to be at tip time, like maybe minus 110, minus 115 at some places. But this game is going to be an outright war. I wrote about this as well on thegamingjuice.com. It's exactly how I described it. But where Illinois has a distinct advantage in this game is generating second chance opportunities with their long bodies. They are inside the top 50 in offensive rebounding percentage here in the month of March. And you look at Iowa State, they're number 293 in all of college basketball, that same stretch in defensive rebounding percentage. I know Iowa State really thrives off turnovers. They coax numerous mistakes, right around 25% of the opponent possessions with their trapping style. Their ball screen coverage is phenomenal. They got active hands. There's no doubt about that. But I think the key in this game, and I know Illinois does not have a true point guard, but it's going to be Coleman Hawkins. He's a guy that can bring the ball up the floor cleanly And at 6'10", if they do decide, hey, we're going to trap this cat in the half court, he can see over the defenders, outstretch arms, find the open man. Maybe it's another pass off of that for three. Maybe it's another pass off of that for a kiss off the glass. I think Illinois can beat this team in transition, can speed up Iowa State, which is more half court oriented. And as well, Illinois got Damask, mess around, got a triple double in the opening round. And they got Terrence Shannon, who is exhibiting Carmelo Anthony like tendencies, carrying this team on his back. So Dame Danger, watch yourself, Danger, could have a phenomenal game. Luke Goody has stepped up at times. If Illinois gets that consistent four score to chip in 8 to 10 points, I think they're going to survive in advance and likely have a date with UConn in the Elite Eight. So pull that all together. Lundy, I-L-L. I'm riding my orange and blue on the money line against the Cyclones. +105 at BetMGM. Good sir. Vader, follow.
I don't like to play around with you and your Illinois. It's ridiculous, Brad.
Hey, I give a very fair perspective.
Maybe you gave a fair perspective. I think I do think it's debatable, Brad. I think the jury might come back hung on that one.
Well, let me ask you this. Illinois is number one in the country. Okay. And adjusted offensive efficiency on the season. Who's number one in adjusted defensive efficiency? Iowa State. Does the old adage, defense wins championships, or in this case, is surviving and advancing? What do you say? Are you going to side with the offense or the defense?
That's the problem, is that I believe that defensive ability to frustrate shooters shows up in March. I believe it shows up in the tournament. And what happens is, how mentally strong are the guys that you rely on, especially from, let's say, outside of 15 feet, right? So you start getting into the jump shots. Take the three-pointer out of it, right? I'm just talking about, if you get to the inability to be able to get inside, or you've got a hand in your face and you're getting frustrated, I believe in March Madness is where it shows up. Mm. And so because of that, I understand we've literally got strength on strength here, and you got to figure out where the breaking point is going to be. For your sake, I am hoping that it is Illinois, but son of a bitch, the Cyclones have impressed me over the last 60 days. And I got a hard time siding with you on this one. I'm going to fade you for purposes of the podcast, but I will tell you that this is a game that I'm actually not going to touch unless I decided to SGP it and do one of our tricks where I'm going to middle it, right? I'm going to say, okay, it's this team plus this and this team plus this, and I'm just expecting the final to finish somewhere in a particular range. Other than that, this is a game that I'm going to sit back. I'm going to grab I'm not going to grab popcorn because I'm going to be in Vegas. So I will be grabbing some sort of stiff drink and watching this one at the sports book with my great friend Andy, and he and I will just kick back and enjoy ourselves.
Oh, man, I'm going to need all the beverages to get through this one. Come on, Illinois! I want to get closer to the Final Four!
Number two.
For those here on the Fade 5 countdown, let's look at another Sweet 16 matchup. And I'm going to live in the middle on this one. So cue the Jimmy Eat World in the background on this SGP, Lundy. I'm going to take UConn down to -3.5 in the old spread market. I'm going to take their opponent, San Diego State. I'm going to jack it way up with the spread at +20.5. So does UConn win between 4 and 21 points? To say, hell yeah, they do. And then I'm going to take the under at 145.5. That is even money, +100 there at BetMGM. For those of you that follow the Gaming Juice and go and sign up for a free account right now, I've written about living in the middle several times. There's an entire article on that strategy, and this is how I'm employing it in this game. I think this is going to be a fairly low possession game. Because that's the only shot the Aztecs have of keeping within striking distance in a game in which they're really outmatched pretty much everywhere. I mean, UConn is the class of this NCAA tournament. They are top 20 in the country this month in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. They're getting it done everywhere. Dominic Klingon's an absolute beast, except for two, a lane clogger. I think he's going to be able to neutralize somewhat Jadon Ladie. And Jay Ladie has, he's a linebacker. He just brutalizes people in the post, but not a great three-point shooter. And, the Aztecs as a group, just number 238 in three-point percentage offense here in the month of March. UConn could outright blitz them, but similar Northwestern game, you know, they took their foot off the gas late. Northwestern crept back in, and I got a cover in the alt-line market. I think it's going to be more of the same in a revenge game narrative, Lundy. These two teams played for it all last year. Of course, UConn won easily there, but I don't think points will pile up the second go-around. So to recap on the SGP, give me the Huskies. Mush! Huskies, mush! -3.5. The Aztecs of San Diego State, +20.5. And that under 145.5 at Even Juice, available at BetMGM. Good, sir. Fair to follow.
I'm just going to save us some time. I like this. I like the way we've middled it. As you said, there's a post up on thegamingjuice.com about this strategy of trying to figure out a range of where a game is going to finish. So if you haven't checked that out and you haven't signed up for your free account yet over at thegamingjuice.com, do so. But I'm going to save us some time here. I like this. Again, between 4 and 21 and that type of a total with what I think these two teams are going to do going back and forth. Yeah, it's a nice little rematch. But unfortunately, UConn's going to do the same thing to them that they did last year.
Oh, live in the middle, baby, with UConn and San Diego State.
Number one.
Numero uno here with a feed at 5. Countdown, my top play Thursday night in the Sweet 16. Let's do a little SGP, and let's talk about a team that Lundy tipped the show off with, and that is the Arizona Wildcats. They're going up in a cat fight in the West region being played in Los Angeles. I'm going to take Arizona down a -8.5, and I'm going to take the over at 142.5 on the all total. You put those hands together. Oh, look at that. A very enticing +105 at BetMGM. Another game I did a quick pick on thegamingjuice.com. And you look at Arizona, and I agree with Lundy. I think they're going to represent the West region in the Final Four. And I already have a ticket open on them doing exactly that. I grabbed it at +150 earlier in the week. At DraftKings, it's down to +120 at the various books. Still great value in my mind. But specific to this game, they are top 55 in the month of March at EFG offense and EFG defense. Where does Clemson rank comparatively in those two categories this month? 162 in offense and 132 in defense. I think Arizona's got the big bodies to really neutralize the heart and soul of this Tigers team, and that is PJ Hall with Ballow and Johnson. And Caleb Love has been fantastic this NCAA tournament, a guy that's got a lot of veteran experience, and he is splishing and splashing from way downtown early and often. Pelle Larson's been fantastic in his own right on both ends of the floor as the wing for Arizona. It doesn't matter the style of play in this game. Clemson would prefer living in the half court. Arizona would love to run, but Arizona can play at variable speeds and do so efficiently. So put all together, all this SGP, my top play on Thursday, Wildcats -3.5 and the over 142.5 +105 at BetMGM. Lundy, I know you already signed with the Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
End of this, but the total. Fade or follow?
Yeah, the total is one that I could totally see falling into another one of those ranges, and I don't like doing that. Like, I don't mind playing the middle game when it comes to the spread in terms of the overall game staying close. I do get nervous if I try to middle when it comes to the total, right? Like, if I'm like, oh, you know, we'll make this over 140 but under 159, right? Because some weird bounce of a three-pointer will suddenly change our fortunes. But I think this is the right way to be able to play this one. I actually think Arizona probably wins this by a half dozen. I really do.
Yeah,
so, you know, if folks, if you're watching or you're listening right now, if the total makes you a little bit nervous, I don't know, maybe you take Arizona to 4.5 and you bring that total down a little bit.
That's
more.
That's the low total available, though, Lundy, at
BetMGM. Is it? All right. I mean, because that drops it by 10, because isn't it the standard line at 152, if I'm not mistaken?
Correct. I always do 10 either side of the ledger.
Okay. So you're bringing it down as low as you possibly can, which I think is probably pretty smart. So I like the way that this one lays out. You get yourself to the plus odds there at BetMGM, and, you know, away you go. So I like the way you're playing this one. I think it's a smart way to be able to do it. And as I said off the top, I think Arizona comes out of the region, and I think the fact that you can get that at plus money is definitely worth it.
Oh, scratch and claw with the Cats from Tucson on that SGP. Again, my top play on today's Fade 5, but we ain't done yet. Lundy, it's bonus time. What are the wagers you got whether college basketball, the NBA, the NHL, dare I say Major League Baseball opening day on Thursday. I think you're going to refrain from that. I only have the one bet to Zach because I got nothing else. I'll have more of the gamingjuice.com, but please share your full card, mi amigo.
I will likely kick in, for those of you that follow the spreadsheet, I will likely kick in baseball bets starting next week. I don't like to do stuff. I tend to shy away from the first series for every team and maybe even the first two series. And that is for a couple of reasons. One, you want to see folks settle in, especially guys that are on new teams, free agents that signed, et cetera. We also know these guys are going to shake off rust. I don't care how many times they played during spring training. It's not the same. And then the last reason that I do it, and again, this is biased a little bit towards what I deal with here in Denver, but it doesn't matter what part of the country that you're in. I think it's stupid that Major League Baseball starts in March. The weather sucks. It's colder. It's colder everywhere, including in freaking Florida. I mean, it's just colder, folks. And I think these guys are used to playing out in the sunshine, and they certainly just finished playing in the sunshine when it comes to their spring training. So I also believe that the weather at the beginning of the season being different the way that it is, the same thing that we wind up talking about, by the way, when we get to the end of September with the season. So I tend to shy away on the first couple of series. However, by the time we get to next week, I will start rocking and rolling when it comes to the spreadsheet. We were very profitable in Major League Baseball last summer, and we're going to try to do the exact same thing. I want to throw one thing out there for you, Brad. Just one. You already talked about Purdue making it to the Final Four. I told you that I like Arizona as well. If you were to go chalk in the other two regions and take Houston and UConn, not every site will let you do this, but over at ESPN Bet, if you think that the Final Four will wind up being Purdue, Arizona, Houston, and UConn, which this guy right here does, at ESPN Bet, that four-leg parlay is plus 1266. I just want to throw that out there. I just want to throw that out there because not every site will let you parlay the Final Four teams together. ESPN Bet will let you parlay them together. So if you think it's going to be those four that make it to Glendale, that is a hefty payday, folks, at plus 1266. Holy cow, that's a nice little parlay to throw $5 on and say F it. All right, from there, let me throw us into the ice tonight. It is our typical hump day Wednesday hockey where we've only got two games. They shrink the schedule down in part because they're featuring the teams on TNT. The game, the late night game tonight, by the way, is Boston and Tampa. That one is the one that'll be featured on TNT. I've got a handful of things for you. Let me start off here. I think we're going to have a goal in the first 10 in both games. If you parlay those together at DraftKings, it's always the best odds if you want to play it at DK. You can get that one at plus 170. Two reasons why. First one, it's freaking Ottawa, people. How many times do I have to tell you this? They have a goal in the first 10 when they are on the road in 87% of their games this season. It is laughable. So yes is an automatic bet when it comes to Ottawa. Then I'm going to go over to the other side between Boston and Tampa. On a normal, if this were like the middle of January, I might say a no on the gift in this one. But Boston and Tampa each have had a goal in the first 10 in four out of their last five games. So it's getting aggressive. We're getting into crunch time here with a lot of these teams having 10 or fewer games left on their schedule. So we're battling for position in where guys are going to be seated. Remember, in the Eastern Conference, only one team has clinched a playoff spot so far, and that was yesterday with the New York Rangers. So a gift in both over at DK, plus 170. I also like this if you want to parlay both games together. I like in both games for both teams to score at least two goals. Put that together at DraftKings as well. You're looking at a plus 121. I definitely think it's going to happen between Ottawa and Buffalo, just in terms of the matchup between those two. And then again, I think Boston and Tampa, yes, they're going to be checking each other. Yes, it may look like an Eastern Conference, but I think I can count on both teams to get me at least two goals. That game's got like 3-2, 4-2 written all over it for a final score. A couple more that I like real quick. In Ottawa and Buffalo, give me Alex Tuck to have an assist at plus 130. Tuck has six assists in his last five games. So we're just playing the odds here, folks. And then here's another one that's a little bit funky. Right at the trade deadline, Tampa pulled a trade with San Jose to grab Anthony Duclair and put him on their roster.
Anthony Duclair has a point in every game he has played since he was traded to Tampa.
Wow.
And the books haven't caught up to it, in my opinion. He's only a minus 120 to have a point for Tampa tonight. To me, that is a gift. If you go back to his last game that he had with San Jose, in his last nine games, he's got 14 points. But again, he has a point in every game he has played for the Lightning since the trade deadline. I will take that, and it's worth the juice at minus 120. As always, I yield the floor to the fine gentleman from Illinois.
All right, I got television to do, so I got to fly here. The Team Huevos parlay play of the day on this SGP, and come with me, Lundy. Give me the Nuggets on the money line. Give me Jokic 25 or more points. Give me Jokic 10 or more boards. And give me KD. I need one block shot. Plus 200 at BetMGM. Quick background here. Denver 9-1 in their last 10 games straight up. Phoenix 4-6. That's it. In their last 10 games on the road, they have split the season series so far this year. Phoenix, meanwhile, a team that doesn't mind giving up some points. In fact, they've allowed 13 most opponent points per game, and Jokic has gone 25 and 21. So over in one, under in the other. But I think he's going to get at least 25, which he has done in 9 of his last 11. 10 or more rebounds, he's done that in 14 of his last 16. And KD's got a block shot in 4 of his last 7 games. And in a pair of matchups against the Nuggets this season, 2 blocks and 3 blocks. And I just need one. So digging that SGP on the Team Huevos parlay play of the day quite a bit. Elsewhere there in the NBA, very quickly, Dante DiVincenzo have some active hands. I'll take the over 1.5 steals against Raptors, minus 130 juice at BetMGM. He has done this in 8 of his last 11 games. And you look at Toronto, they have given up the 6 most, I need to get another finger here up, 6 most opponent steals per game in their last 15. So DiVincenzo over 1.5 swipes. And then Tyrese Halliburton, I'll take the over 11.5 assists against the Bulls. He's gone 14, 20, and 13 against Chicago this season. And the Bulls have given up the 5th most assists per game to opponents over the last 15. And in the NIT, Lundy, I like VCU. The numbers jumped to +7.5 on the road at Utah. I took it at +6.5. I think the Rams cover. They're a slow team. They're high rely on the defense. They're top 20 on the season, EMGD. They're outside the top 300 in adjusted tempo on the air. And I know Utah has more length. They have more athleticism, and they are at home. But set at points, given the speed and likely tempo of that game, too many in my estimation. All right, we are out of breath. I'm out of time here on the Feed 5 podcast. Do us a favor. Sign up for a free account right now at thegamingjuice.com. All kinds of NHL content every single day from Lundy and our other cast of writers, and basketball content. I'm a writing fiend. I'm going to have some baseball plays, including a hitter prop opening day tomorrow on the site, and it's free. You have no excuse. Drop us a rating and a review at your convenience, and feed or follow us on the X or the Twitter at Noisy Huevos for me and at Nate Lundy for his handsomeness and for the sexiness that is Nathaniel Lundy. I'm Brad Evans. Until next time, as always, don't be me only, because he's going to be drunk in Vegas. Feed or follow, that is up to you.